WildTalkRadio.com. The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is Ed Spock with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I'll find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
CEO, CEO, CEO. Chant it. Everybody. No. No one's chanting CEO. Anyway, this is WTR.
I thought they were supposed to chant for us. That was the whole thing on Wednesday.
Right. Anyway, this is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You use credit code ROCKSTOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer. That's the intern.
Hello, everyone. We have some things to say about wrestling this week.
Well, you have things to say.
Oh, I've got some things to say, and I'm going to be very measured in what I say.
Mm-hmm.
I will be measured. I will give good and bad.
Okay. Joining us this week is the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, I'm here. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming on twitch.tv, www.twitch.tv/WTR Live. We got a live chat room. Come and chat live because we're all there, and you'll get a chance to say hello to the lovely Lindsay Ward, who's also in chat. Hi, Lindsay. And hello to everybody listening live or via the podcast. Shout out to Keishi Matsunaga, who's listening to the podcast, but he's not here live.
He's not here live, no. Not for a few more weeks.
So there you go. Brent says he's going to be measured. Well, it's a good thing that I'm self-employed as a handyman because I've got like tapes and rulers and all of these things. So I guess I'm in charge of the measuring sticks.
That was just, anyway. Yeah. We have stuff to get into tonight. We got some AEW to talk about because Brent has opinions about that. We're going to talk about the WWE Hall of Fame. It's shaping up to be an interesting class, not the most noteworthy, but an interesting class, and who may or apparently may not actually make it into the class. But I want to throw something out there that is not on our sheet, but I think Brent wants to rant about this one too. So I'm just going to throw a quick hitter at him.
Oh, good. You're just going to set me up as the angry guy on this show today. Awesome.
So, I mean, this is in your wheelhouse because you are Mr. Hashtag Blame Brent.
Oh, okay.
So when you're given an opportunity to do something not many people are allowed to do is then scale Mount Everest, and you've been training for about a year. You won. You dive off a ladder into glass a month before you're supposed to go, and then 2 weeks before you're supposed to start to climb, you break your foot in a wrestling match.
Yeah, this is the good and the bad of Darby Allin, y'all. As much as everyone wants to talk about, you know, oh, he does these very safe, protected spots, and, you know, Tony made sure to come out into the media and let everyone know, hey, Darby only does stunts that he knows that he can do safely, like jumping off a larger than normal ladder through chairs, and you can call it treated glass or whatever you want to do. There was still a notice that they put up on the big screen that basically said, yeah, if you're in the crowd here, you assume your own liability for stuff that may fly into the crowd, like, you know, broken glass. That's a great safety protocol there, AEW.
I think that's a fake sign, but anyway.
Either way. But yeah, as Rock said, this is your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do something that normal people are never given that chance. And Darby was given, you know, specific ability to be able to go climb Mount Everest. Now, is that the smartest decision in the world? Probably not, considering, you know, the mortality rate of climbing up the world's largest mountain and the fact that you do need oxygen to at least, you know, do the last bit of climb, and it has to be done in certain parts of the year, blah, blah, blah.
Here's a bit of trivia for you. You know, all the people that have passed away attempting to reach the summit of Mount Everest have been left where they died on that mountain.
Because it's more dangerous to bring them back than it is to just leave them there.
Frozen solid and perfectly preserved.
But it's one of those things of like, Rock, there was supposed to be a documentary about this, right?
I think.
Like, they were going to be doing, like, media about this. It was like, you know, oh, we were going to film some special stuff. All of this. And then you go out and you have him, quote unquote, get written off. And during that match, legitimately breaks his foot. And he now has to wait a year to try and do this. Which also means he's out from AEW. I mean, that's already planned, but now you've also got to go, well, shit, now we're probably going to lose him for 2 years because he's going to need his foot to heal, whether or not he needs surgery or not. Knowing Darby, he'll still probably try to go out there in a cast, being an idiot, but he's going to have to get his foot healed, and then he's going to have to go through training again to make sure he's ready, because it's not one of those things of just like, oh, I put it off a year, I did the training, I'm good to go. No. There's special training you have to do for, you know, elevations and other things so that you don't, you know, get a certain point up the mountain and, I don't know, die. But now, with his broken foot, you've moved your timetable back even further because he has to heal from the foot injury. And then you may get him to wrestle a little bit, but if he gets injured again, then that daily... Like, he's gonna probably have to try and make a choice. Is it more important to go up Everest, or is it more important to be the professional wrestler? He's gonna have to make that choice sometime soon.
Now, I want to throw this out at you. He had the big send-off with Sting at AEW Revolution. Should Tony actually have booked him into a match this week?
No. Especially if you were trying to do, like I said, media documentary. If you were trying to do something special with Darby that would get you legitimate main press, you shouldn't have had him out there. Or if it was, it should have been in a very protected thing. Not wrestling, but, you know, have him get his ankle pilmanized if that's what you wanted to do. But with that, that should be safe enough. You put him in a match, yeah, and
that's what happens.
We see the result.
We watched the send-off with Sting, and then we saw him on TV the following week. And he dropped the bell, and you didn't need to do an angle from that. He could have, hey, gonna go climb the dangerous mountain. He cut the promo, said, hey, deuces, I'm out. He said he might die. He cut that promo. That should have been it. I don't think you needed to write him out of a story.
When everyone knew he was already going away, the injury does nothing. Like, breaking his ankle on TV does nothing because you already knew he was leaving.
Yeah.
And if he goes up Mount Everest, what's the point? Storyline, he climbed it with a broken ankle?
No one would believe that.
No. And that's going to lead into some other stuff that I'm going to talk about later about this company. They went for a big spot rather than doing the thing that makes common sense. And that's their problem.
That is a big problem. So he's the Kurt Angle of this generation.
He's the Jeff Hardy of this generation, but without the drug and alcohol.
There you go. You climbed the ankle with a broken freaking ankle. I mean, you know. But we'll get more into AEW here in a bit, but I wanted to switch gears to the WWE Hall of Fame. It's been shaping up to be an interesting class. A lot of interesting names have been bantied about. We got Muhammad Ali in this Hall of Fame. Bull Nakano is in the WWE Hall of Fame this coming year. You have what, the U.S. Express, Wyndham and Rotunda, and Thunderbolt Patterson, I believe his name is.
Yes.
And the headliner as of now is Paul Heyman. What are we thinking, Tim, about this class?
Well, there are a couple of names on there that some younger wrestling fans have absolutely no clue who they are or why they're even on that list.
Mm-hmm.
And Google is your friend. It doesn't take a shit ton of effort to type in those names to find out why these guys are getting inducted.
But what's your take overall on this class? Is it a good class? Average class?
Overall, to tell you the truth, it feels kind of average. I mean, like... You got one of them, Rotunda, going in, okay, with Heyman being your headliner. And, like, as far as Heyman goes...
Well, no. Not Wyndham Rotunda. Wyndham and Rotunda.
That's what I said.
Okay, the and did not
Wyndham
come
and
out.
Rotunda. Not Wyndham go. Rotunda.
Just no, making no, it no. clear.
Bray's
making...
not going in this year.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a second.
We will bring that up. No. I said and.
Okay, like, making sure. Making it clear.
Two different names signifying two different people.
Anyway. Making it clear. Continue.
Yeah. But as far as I was like what I was saying about Paul Heyman, the overall feeling that I'm picking up from everybody is it's about time. Why does it take so long?
Yeah. I mean,
like why it takes so long? Yeah, sure. He could have been in there like even 10 years ago, but he's still an active member. And there's only one other active member. That's Ray. Should Ray have gone in and still wrestle? I don't know. They should have waited till he retired.
I think there were signs that he was going to retire. It's so close. But then he continues on.
That was the
on.
Thought. And then he did a sharp 180 and everybody changed his mind. But I don't really have that much of an issue, really, with the class of 24. I do have a bit of an understanding as to why the lesser known and the only reason why they're lesser known is because it's been such a length of time that these guys are in public. Now, Muhammad Ali, should he be in the Wrestling Hall of Fame?
I would assume this is the celebrity wing portion of
the WWE.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame. Some people, believe it or not, Brent, are not aware that when Muhammad Ali was in his prime, he was basically blackballed from boxing by the United States government because he was a conscientious objector to the Vietnam conflict. It was mm-hmm. against his religion.
Yeah. He decided to, as you said, be a conscientious observer, stay out of the fray, and that blacklisted him for quite a while. So he did dally a little bit into professional wrestling.
Now, who did he face?
Well, I mean, aside from being, I believe, a celebrity guest referee at one point.
He had a match against a Japanese wrestler.
Was it Antonio Inoki?
Yep.
I mean, that's a fairly decent name.
And that is the that was the inspiration for Thunderlips in Rocky III. There's your trivia for tonight.
So with Heyman as your headliner, he should just get what Taker got in just an hour to just tell some stories,
give,
right?
Give Paul a mic and say shoot.
So you mean the Paul stage show that he's done before?
Just give him 45 minutes to an hour and just let him go, because Bull Nakano is not going to give you the long speech. Wyndham and Rotunda are not going to give you that long of a speech, and everyone else is not going to be able to do it either. So,
I believe Thunderbolt Patterson's still alive.
I was more talking about Muhammad Ali.
I get that, but I'm just saying there's also someone that could get like a 5-minute speech.
But they're not going to take up a large majority of time.
My question is, like, get back to what you're talking about, is who is going to accept on behalf of Muhammad?
Ooh. Good question.
For me, it only makes sense and it's only logical that it's Layla, his daughter.
She does have a relationship with Dwayne and the E.
And I do believe she's friends with Dwayne's daughter, who's, what, in NXT now. So
she's the GM of NXT, yeah. Who ducks Muhammad?
Now, that is a hell of a question. Absolutely, everybody I could think of that would be apropos has made their way beyond this mortal coil.
I think you cup your hand to your ear and you do the thing a few times.
Brother. Wait, Rock, I've got a horrible idea.
Okay.
Mr. T.
No, we would like to get out of a certain period of time, not be there for 5 hours.
No. It's WrestleMania. That's a 2-night show, not the Hall of Fame induction.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And my mama said, and I thank my mama for letting me induct you.
In all honesty, yeah, there's only two people alive from that match. Bob Orton is still around too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so three people technically involved in that match are still around.
But there's only one brother man.
Right. There's only one that also is of the caliber of Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense if Terry Bollea inducted him.
Yeah. Who inducts Heyman?
Oh, shit.
Stephanie McMahon. No.
Eric Bischoff.
No.
He would be my pick if he wasn't so on the outs with WWE right now.
I mean, I could say an absolute horrible answer.
Well, say it anyway, because you're going to.
We could get the current ECW champion, Ezekiel Jackson, to induct him.
That was terrible.
He is still the current reigning and defending ECW champion.
Then it goes, given Terry's history, should you? Yeah, because they've been using him more, and for a 5-minute thing on Peacock to introduce Muhammad Ali, it's fine.
Well, you're wondering who inducts Paul. Who was the biggest name besides Heyman that's still around from the original Philadelphia ECW?
His name is Tommy Dreamer, if you can make it
there,
work.
There it is.
That, but it's can you make it work?
Dreamer or Rob? Because Rob's also a Hall of Famer, so you justify that.
But one is a better talker than the other.
True.
If you can talk to Anthem and make it work where Dreamer can appear, then use Tommy Dreamer.
That would make for better stories.
Paul's going to tell the stories himself.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the intro stories. Like, you don't go up there and say, yeah, here's Paul Heyman. Like, you gotta tell a couple of stories about him.
If you can make it work and you can't get Dreamer, Brent will hate this one, but the Dudley Boys.
No, I wouldn't hate that because I think Bully / Bubba knows the moment and him and D-Von would do well. Like Tim said, entertaining the crowd, giving, one or two pot shots at Paul, and then letting Paul just run the show for the next 45 to an hour. I think the Dudleys, honestly, when you had said who's someone from ECW that could do it, my first thought was probably like, they could probably get Bubba pretty easily, and he would do, he would do business enough of making it a big deal.
Because he's not tied to any major promotion.
Exactly.
So there's less loopholes you have to get, and then you get the easy promotion of Busted Open.
That's what I was about to say. You get that free promo of him talking about, like, I'm inducting Paul, tune in.
Yeah.
So, it's all about that cross-promotion, y'all.
And then, I mean, you could do Roman if you want to stick it to current. Roman puts in the wise man, but I think because it's in Philly, you try ECW first if you can make it work.
CM Punk.
Honestly, not a bad idea.
Because he is a Paul Heyman guy.
And he's the talker.
Well, talk about being a Paul Heyman guy. If he wasn't on the outs because of all of the nastiness, would Brock have worked?
I don't know. Brock is a talker.
Actually, he is.
I think in that environment, Brock would have worked.
But because it's Paul, I want somebody from the original ECW.
And because it's Philly, you got to tie it all.
Yeah. If you're together in Philly and you don't do an ECW guy inducting Paul, I think the crowd would have had something to say about it.
Yeah, all those chairs would wind up on the stage.
Once again, you get Bubba.
Well, they might wind up on the stage anyway, then.
There we go.
So, one name that was talked about, bandied about, I thought was going in, and apparently there's second thoughts. There could still possibly happen, but second thoughts maybe holding off on Bray Wyatt going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year.
Now, as far as that goes, I've got no problems with them not putting him in this year, but next year.
The wound might still be a little raw right now for him. I if they put him in with his dad and I believe uncle,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have had a problem with it. I think it would have been a very emotional thing. And I also, I can understand if Paul is your headliner this year, don't want Bray to be an, you know, just kind of like a, oh yeah, and he was also inducted, which could be the case for something like this year.
But here's the thing, that would happen every year because he's not here. Like when Savage, when they put Savage in, it was cool, but he wasn't here. It's weird. It's weirder that way.
I get that, but I also think you can make a bigger deal out of it if you wait a year, because you can turn it into essentially a... Honestly, if Bray Wyatt goes in, what you might want to do is turn it into a little bit of a spectacle. And I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, embrace what he was. And I have the person that would probably do a really good job doing it, but would also, I think, be very emotional in doing it. Lexi.
Yeah.
It's exactly where my thoughts were.
You have her out there, and, you know, you can have JoJo and the kids out there to accept it, but you end it on a, you know, like, mystic note to really embrace the Bray Wyatt part. You know, maybe she lays down the, God, what was the doll's name?
Lily.
Like, she places Lily in the center of the ring or something, or, you know, like, Abigail, or, you know, like, something like that, where it's like you really draw on that kind of iconography of it and you turn it into a lasting image where make it a big deal.
And the chair just starts rocking.
Which is what they did for when they honored him.
Yeah. Right. So it's one of those things of like, if he were to go in this year, it would be a great tribute. But I think in Philly, like you said, Paul's going to get an hour. And that's going to be the main thing for this. And you've got Wyndham and Mike Rotunda going in. And I mean, Mike Rotunda, of course, can be honored for, I know it's the US Express, but it's also, you know, him as IRS. And you just don't want Bray to be just kind of like, oh yeah, and we're inducting Bray because he passed away this year.
Brent, gonna make it not so serious. Did you see what she said in chat, that she's mentioned a member of the family who could do it?
Oh, she actually acknowledged a member of the Wyatt family. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Lindsay mentions Randy could do it. Former Wyatt family member.
Randy would be interesting, but I think, honestly, if she... I think Alexa is the person to do it just because of the way that she talks about, like, how that moment is so important. It's almost like it feels to me that kind of moment of, like, Zelina in Puerto Rico, where it's like, I could see Alexa fight for it. Like, she would go to Hunter and be like, no, I'm going to do this. Like, you have, like, please let me do this for him. So, but I also know that she's still, you know, out on maternity, which could also play a factor in some of that as well. You never know. There's a lot that goes into a Hall of Fame induction.
There is a lot. And there's still, I think, one more name to be announced, at least. So we'll see what happens with the Hall of Fame class this year. Which will be live following SmackDown the night before WrestleMania. Also, Brent, I got some breaking news for you.
Oh, really?
As we switch back to AEW, this Wednesday, it's 3 hours of action.
Three?
2 hours of a Dynamite and 1 hour of a Rampage. Live on a Wednesday night.
Oh, they're actually going to put Rampage on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, good fucking howdy. Oh, wait. Is that because they're doing a Battle of the Belts on Saturday or Friday or Saturday?
No, because there's basketball. It's March Madness.
Oh, that's right. Huh, good. So they're going to turn into Raw for a night. Got it.
For a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, we'll also figure out how much
I don't think Collision airs. I think it's off the air for a couple weeks.
Yeah, because the primetime Saturday night, I mean, unless they wanted to move Collision off to... Well, no, they couldn't even move it onto Court TV because... True TV, because that's all NCAA programming.
Yeah.
For the first two weekends, it's all covered. Shit. Yeah,
no Collision.
Well, sucks for them.
Gotta get everyone out on Dynamite.
Wait, but Rock, remember, if you're good, you don't get preempted for sports. That's what I'd always heard when it came to.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. You know, oh, you got bumped because of the NHL. Your product is awful. Yeah, well, you got bumped because of college sports. So what does that say? At least NXT got bumped for, you know, professional.
I mean, it brings back
memories of Rob being preempted for a dog show.
Well, the dog show earned a lot of money.
Oh, Tim, don't worry. You'll appreciate this. AEW fan, like the hardcore tribalist fan, was giving WWE shit because they were preempted for hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hockey's not that big of a sport, so you guys should have been able to hold that time slot. Yeah, just wanted to put that out there for you folks.
So, anyway, moving along into what happened this past Wednesday on Dynamite. The long-awaited debut of Mercedes Moné in AEW. She is now Ollie Brandt. Chant it. CEO. CEO.
So for people who don't know, we're in Discord, and you can label your conversations. And, Brock, what did I put for the label of this one?
I haven't even looked what you label it.
CEO, no. Because that's about how this felt. Now, I'm going to preface this entire thing by saying two things before I get into it. I want to echo what Lindsay said on Thursday. For Mercedes Vernado, the woman behind, you know, CEO, good on you for getting that bag. I'm not going to ever say a bad thing about people getting what they think they're earned. Good on you for being able to secure the contract or the money that you think you deserve in going to AEW. More power to you. Get that bag while you can. Number two, this is 1 week that we're going to be discussing. What happens in the future, I can't foretell, but we're going to talk about essentially what happens in 1 week. This is not essentially like the death of AEW. I'm not going to put dirt on the company. That all being said, here we go. You brought Mercedes Moné in to be a needle mover. Hey, Rock, what was the overall rating for AEW on Wednesday night?
Was it 0.2 something with 793 overall?
No. 806 was the average overall rating.
No. It went down when you put the overrun in.
Even better. So it was originally reported as 806 with a 2.6 maybe.
Something like that. 2.4, 2.6.
Looking at the you know, popular demographic. I have the quarter hours here, and this is what tells the real story of what happened on Wednesday night. So at 8 o'clock, AEW Dynamite from the 8 to 8.15 quarter hour was at 1 million viewers. This is your lead-in from Big Bang Theory. This is, you know, Mercedes. They roll her out at the very beginning to capitalize on all this.
All right, hold on. I'm going to cut you off. 0.27801. That 801,000 for the 2 hours without the overrun counted in.
Anyway, okay, so 801, and then what was it, 0.27?
Seven, yeah.
Okay, so she starts off at 1 million viewers, capitalizing on it. She gives her speech as Mercedes Vernado, not the CEO. We'll go back to that in a minute. Your next quarter hour is your World Heavyweight Championship match between Samoa Joe and Wardlow, where you already lose 100,000 people. So you went from 1 million down to 899 in 15 minutes. Okay, still 900,000 people. You're still pulling better than you normally do. You then get into your post-match with Swerve Strickland, and the lead-in, or like the very start of your triple threat match, or I'm sorry, not triple threat, your six-man tag with the Elite and one of your newest signings, Okada, taking on Pac, Penta, and Eddie Kingston. You're now down to 815, so you've lost 185,000 people from your lead-in. So almost a fifth of your viewers have already jumped away. Not great, but you're still okay, but that's your average. The end of your six-man tag and then your Christian and Adam Copeland video takes you down to 737 for the end of, for your first hour. So you've already lost 270,000 people from your start. You lost a quarter of the people that tuned in. That's not good. That means people tuned in, they saw Sasha, or saw Mercedes, they're like, all right, cool, that's what we wanted to see. Boop, turn off. Or went to something else. The rest of your show didn't get higher than 800,000, and it cratered at your end at 627K. That means you lost 300 and 73,000 people from the start of your show. And that's not including that overrun they did where she came back.
Which went up to 733, overall average 798,000 fans.
So you're under 800,000, and you lost a third of your people throughout the entire show. That should send warning flags to you. And again, I understand this is 1 week, but you need to look at those numbers. And I mean, Rock Lindsay and I got this visual the day after when they released those quarter hours. And the first thing any of us thought was, oh my God, look at that drop.
And it's a drop that's normally a thing for them.
It happens throughout their whole show.
But 627 is the concerning number. Because if you look at the 90-day trend, it's consistent. You drop for the big number and you sort of average your way through. You have to look at here, it wasn't a normal show.
No, they hyped this thing up. And this is part of the problem with what I think they did. And it's at the heart of one of my biggest criticisms of AEW is. AEW is built upon being a smart fan who is in the know of what's going on. So Tony made this big announcement of, we're going to hold Dynamite in Boston, and we're going to call it Big Business. And he hyped it up for how many weeks, Rock?
At least a month.
About a month. And if you're one of the smart fans, and I mean, we all talked about it on this show, we knew what was coming. And so it was like, okay, yeah. But you're catering to the same people every time when you do that. You're not building your audience, which is what we've talked about for 4 years with AEW. If you had come out and you had built this up as the first appearance of Mercedes Moné in AEW, you would have capitalized so much more on growing your audience, which is what you absolutely need to do if you're AEW right now. Because in the grand scale of things, when you look at this overall rating for this show, the report was this is the third lowest for the year in terms of overall rating. This is below your regular average for an AEW Dynamite. And yet you spent a month hyping this up and your whole thing was, we're getting Mercedes, but we're not going to tell you we're getting Mercedes. You just have to tune in and see. And people tuned in and then they saw what they wanted to and they turned off because they didn't care about the world championship match. They didn't care about your newest signing in Okada. They didn't care about the promo with Will Ospreay, your other newest signing. So the three big things that all the AEW tribalists are going, look at these three amazing people we got. We're revolutionizing our roster. It translated to your third worst overall rating.
And I think, I'm going to stop you because I don't want to get Tim in this. And I think that's the key, Tim. You threw all your big names out here and you lost viewership
because you didn't present it in the proper order. You see the younger fans on social media bitching and complaining, oh, like, bring them out now, when you're watching WWE and you know The Rock is going to be there, or Stone Cold is showing up, or whatever, something like that. WWE is a very well-oiled machine. They know how to keep the audience engaged. They know how to build up and slowly increase. And as the night progresses, it gets more and more and more interesting, more and more and more entertaining, more and more and more. Oh, I got to stick around and see what's next. You don't blow your load in the first 10 minutes. Pardon the crudity. But
I mean, they did in the first hour. They gave you Mercedes and as a world title match to follow it up.
And Okada, then your biggest free agent signing that you had for 2 weeks.
All in the first hour.
And now,
and Ospreay, even.
You got your
promo.
And now we have the perfect example of why you keep the audience waiting. You don't give them what they want. This is an example of you never give the fans what they want when they want it. Because if you do that, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Well, and Tony Khan is a fanboy more than he is an intelligent, to use the old school term, smart wrestling promoter.
Well, do you want a perfect example of the difference between WWE and AEW?
Gimme.
Okay. And Tim, I'm going to use you as an example here. This isn't derogatory or anything. I know that you're not typically an AEW watcher, correct?
Yeah, well, 99% of the time, I just don't have the time.
Okay. Now, WWE has recently been working to debut someone. They had a big free agent signing about the end of last year, and they announced it on social media. They talked about it on their television, and then they featured this person multiple times to let you get to know them a little bit.
And
to
she's
start
only
making
had,
them a big deal.
And she's only had one real match.
But it's all it was all building to, okay, so it's like, and for those who aren't knowing who we're talking about, it's Jade Cargill, who was a big female wrestler in AEW. But if you didn't watch AEW, you weren't, you know, you didn't know why it was a big deal that she signed. Yet the first thing they did was they put her into segments with Charlotte, Becky. You know, they had her going, I don't know what brand I'm going to. You're going to have to wait and see. Everything was done to build hype and to get you going, who is this person and why are they a big deal? Then she came out at the Royal Rumble and she performed after having training and everything. And I think all three of us agreed on that night, she looked like $1 million.
Well, the great thing about it, look who she went after. One of the biggest girls in the ring.
Uh-huh.
Actually, the biggest girl in the ring. And that's not a shot or anything else like that. It's I'm not body shaming. But she pressed her.
It was showcasing what she could do.
Exactly. Who are we talking about?
She's not like most girls.
Exactly.
But it's like their whole, the WWE's way, and I don't want to always do a WWE AEW comparison, but in this case, I think it's very apropos of, we're going to get you interested in wanting to see her. And so you would make the announcement of like, oh, Jade's gonna be here, and all of a sudden you're like, ooh, I need to see what this person's like.
Well, like, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call a goddamn thing anymore, that platform, that social media that used to have the bird. I posted the night after after the Rumble was over a meme, a person with a certain look on their face. And my caption to that was, when you realize that the entire push for Nia Jax was only to build up Jade Cargill's debut. And that's exactly how it felt.
And I mean, there's even talk that Jade's going to be possibly featured in a match on Mania, which could be her second match.
Yep.
And again, you're making her feel special. And even if you don't know who she is, you're looking at this going, wow.
Okay, I've heard all of this. You guys have said all of this stuff. And, okay, I've seen her standing across from the SmackDown Women's Champion now. And holy cow, she's like an Amazon. Get her in the goddamn ring. I want to see her wrestle already. Hurry up.
Right.
And that's exactly what WWE is so goddamn good at, the art of the carny.
So we talked about this part. Now I'm going to use Rock's experience on this, because he knows what has happened. So Rock, they didn't announce Mercedes was showing up until this show, correct?
Yeah, they never actually said it until she showed up, yeah.
They never said it. It was all the smart references, you know, Boston and...
And Mercedes did a lot of social media push at the end.
Right. Sky's the limit. You know, that kind of thing. and then she made an appearance at the end of the show. She didn't really do much. She was mostly dancing. I mean, she did smack, was it Sky Blue, I think, mm-hmm. coming to the ring. What did she do after the show, like in the next day or two?
She did press in Boston and then went to the basketball game.
She did press in Boston. She went to the Celtics game. Why couldn't she do that before?
Good question. They could have promoted her beforehand.
How many times has a returning WWE wrestler, when they have done everything they can to keep it under wraps, you know, officially, air quotes, been seen in public grabbing a plate and they've dyed their hair back to the original black that it used to be, and they're spotted landing at the airport in the same city where the big premium live event is going to be and all this other stuff, and they leaked it that way?
There's very simple ways you could have done something, cash in, no pun intended, on all of this and made it a bigger deal. One of my other issues with all of this is it seems like you're injecting her into a mid-level feud to start. after all the, after, you know, talking about how big of a signing this is, and oh, this is going to be so great. She's here to revolutionize the women's division.
Yeah, they're rushing her first match into something that's not going to be meaningful. Yeah, Lindsay said it right in the chat room. They should have capitalized on the star power.
Hey, Brock, last week you had a suggestion for what they should have done, or, you know, how they should have introduced her. Do you remember?
Yeah, Britt and Swerve, yeah.
You have Britt walk out as, like, you know, the three-letter chant, and you have Mercedes come out to interrupt her. That would have been so much better, because it would have elevated Mercedes to a level of, like, yeah, her first feud's going to be Britt? Holy shit, I want to see this. These are two top-level people that should be fighting. And instead, she's going to be Willow's backup for the TBS title shot? This is the biggest problem they've had with a lot of these signings. I mean, look at where Saraya is now. Remember, she was supposed to revolutionize the women's division as well. She's now a second-tier character on Collision with her brother, who's refusing to fight someone in his first match.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw it out there. Tony Khan, if you ever wind up listening to the archive version of this show, reach out to me. I will be more than happy to help you actually promote and book a winning show. I've done it. Yes, on a local level, on an indie level, but when you get somebody the caliber of a member of the Hart family coming up to you and telling you that it's the best show that he has ever gone to, I am going to humble brag that until I die.
The biggest thing that is the problem, I would say, with All Elite Wrestling is they are all about the spot moment and not about, you know, the storytelling or the culmination of something.
The spot moment is perfectly fine, but the spot moment has to be built up too. You cannot lead with the spot moment.
But
and
I mean,
Tony Khan is too much of a goddamn fanboy to realize that. And, you know, like, I get it. He's got a passion for professional wrestling, and it's fantastic. And I'm really happy that there is a viable alternative to WWE. Like, we haven't had one since WCW. But that being said, you've got to be smart about it. And I'm sorry, Tony, you're doing it wrong.
Well, and I know that people think that I just bash AEW, and let me just say, I absolutely think having AEW around is a great thing for the business. It allows something like Mercedes to happen because it gives her an opportunity to go somewhere else to, you know, perform. That's great. I want people to be able to have that kind of ability of going, okay, maybe I'm not a fit at the WWE right now. Maybe there's not room there. Okay, I'll go over here. I'll work. And then, you know, she's already said she has unfinished business with that company, which apparently has rubbed people in AEW the wrong way, because it should be, well, you should just be happy to be here. No, acknowledge the fact that there are other things out there. And yeah, there may be times that I'm going to jump back. I love the fact that there is other places that people can go and perform. It gives you options. That's great. The thing I don't like is that AEW's fans are the worst, or at least the hardcore tribalist fans are the worst kind, because they're the gatekeepers. If you don't know who Okada is, then you're not a true fan. If you, you know, you don't agree that this is a five-star match, well then what are you doing watching wrestling? This has been the problem with all of this in their four-year tenure. They want to build the
You
spot.
Don't know anything about wrestling, man. You're just an idiot.
Well, and I mean, I don't want to, you know, attack them, but it's just this idea of, like I said, it's building for spots and putting together these one-time dream matches, and it's great. That happened. Where do you go from here? Whereas you have, you know, in other companies, TNA, WWE, you see these storylines that are built for weeks that have culminations that get you invested that you want to watch. And you only get that once in a blue moon in AEW. And yet, if you try to bring that up, it's, well, you're just a hater. Or, you just don't get it. No, we get it. You just need to think about these things and try to put together a larger more robust show.
Brent, did you know that I used to talk with Rock on the regular every time I was putting together my next wrestling show?
I would not be surprised.
I would get his input, ask him what he thought about this, that, and the other goddamn thing. Remember that, Rock?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And I would get his feedback like from three different directions.
All factual statements.
Yeah. I would get his feedback as a fan, a feedback as a smark, and feedback as an analyst.
Mm-hmm.
I would take that to Otto and sit down with him, and I would go over everything that Otto was putting together. I would that you know, like, there were some things he kept from me. But he only kept them from me to basically shock and awe me on shit. But anyway, he'd come up with all of this stuff, and I would say, well, you know, I talked to somebody, and here's what I got back. And he's like, you know what? That'll work better. Oh, no, we can't do this because then that won't work because we're planning that. Mm-hmm. But we could take this and tweak it, and then boom. So I hope Tony's got somebody like that.
He has people like that.
They yes men, or are they going to tell him what he needs to hear, not what he wants?
Okay, well, they are a yes man, but not a yes man.
There you go.
If you got the deal.
Well, who wouldn't catch that?
Yeah.
Oh, people who just don't get it.
People who just don't get that reference. Anyway, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens as they go forward. Hopefully they learn and build things up.
Like I said, I mean, I know it's 1 week. I'm not putting dirt on the grave, but this should be a wake-up call for how some things are done or how you need to present things. Because moving forward, Rock, they're going to have more than one women's segment on the show, right?
You assume.
Because you're paying Mercedes what apparently is top-tier money, but yet you've got to feature, you know, your women's champion, your TBS champion, and you can't put Mercedes on Collision. You can't put her on Ring of Honor because, no offense, no one watches those shows, and she's not going to draw the viewers long term to those shows.
All factual statements. So we'll see what happens.
To be invested, and then I'll get invested.
But I think that's good. I think that's a good stopping point for the night.
Let the good times roll.
Wait, before we do that,
V Team Chat just subscribed for 56 months. Very busy weekend.
Thanks, Matt, for 56 months. Appreciate you. Good timing, because that's a good stopping point as we wrap up for the night, Tim.
Was that?
We wrap up for the night.
Oh, we're done. That's it for tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Hope we didn't bore you and basically shoot our shot in the first 5 minutes of the show. Yeah.
We built to the finale on this show.
We crescendoed.
Did we crescendo? Did we build to it? Anyway, the week kicks off tomorrow, immediately following Raw. It's the post show.
It is the Raw post show live at 11 p.m. Eastern. No, woo woo. I'm responding in chat. No, woo woo. We got things before Thursday.
Ooh, woo.
No, woo woo. We got things before Thursday, Tim. We got things that happen all week long.
Oh, you're doing playthrough 2024.
Yeah. Hashtag Ben Brent. We're doing the WWE 2K24 showcase finale on Tuesday. We're starting with the Funhouse and working our way through the end of that. Wednesday, we will have the start of career mode for a little bit. So there's that. It's the WWE 2K showcase and WWE My Rise career mode thing. 9:30, 10 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday and Wednesday night. Now Thursday,
10 o'clock Eastern. It's another edition of the multi-time award-winning Rack Radio Show with multi-time award-winning Lindsay Ward.
This Thursday, we will be reviewing Not Your Average Girl, the man Becky Lynch book. We'll be reviewing it live on Thursday. 10 p.m. Eastern.
Cool. What do you want Friday?
Me and Brent battle on Friday.
Cool. Hashtag team intern.
What are you doing around 9:30 o'clock p.m. Saturday?
we'll get there. But first, let's talk about a Friday. We battle. GM battles live, 10 p.m. Eastern. In my GM mode, in WWE 2K24, we stream it live. We did our draft, and we did match, booked some matches.
So, what exactly are you guys doing? You both get on your Xbox 395 and go online and fight each other, or what?
No, it's my GM mode. We're booking shows, Tim.
I mean, technically, I sign into his Xbox.
We work some magic, but we're doing my GM mode. GM battles, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. You may learn a thing or two about booking a show.
There you go. And then Saturday night shit happens.
Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, is WTR game night. We've featured Fortnite the last couple weeks. I think we're featuring Uno this week. Stay tuned to figure out. We'll figure that out. Followed by CB Radio live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Hey, Hold on.
Which will be the season 4 finale of the Greater Than Great Debate. We'll debate all of our mistakes from the last year or so in one big giant debate this Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. What are we doing Sunday?
Another edition of WTR Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio.
8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern.
Yep, just a regular new show because in the week after we're going to do a tier list on WrestleMania matches.
We're doing a tier list?
Yep. We're doing the top 40 WrestleMania matches of all time in 2 weeks. Ooh.
But I got a couple that I could think of.
The kicker for the tier list is every show on the network is going to do it.
Everybody?
Each show is going to do it. So you guys will do it on a Sunday. We're going to do it on a Thursday. Then the CB Radio crew is going to do it on a Saturday. And we're going to see how it all looks at the end.
Oh, good. God. That's better, spreading it out instead of doing it all in one night.
Right. And we're going to compare.
That would be longer than AEW pay-per-view.
Yeah, no. We're going to compare tier lists. See how all the opinions are different.
Like, when I'm making a good joke, quit walking over it. Anyway.
It was a terrible joke. Anyway.
You let me tell terrible jokes. And then
I know. You can find more of them at Flames Forums.
Yeah, you can find a lot of good jokes and bad jokes and other things at Flames Forums on Twitter, X Twitter.
Whatever. Yeah. Brent makes friends.
Yeah, I decide to comment every so often on certain.
I'm going
to
interrupt Brent right now. Brent, cut it out. Okay, continue.
But
no, Team Uwu, piss off.
Hashtag Team Uwu. Hashtag Team Intern. But I make friends online, whether it is on X or Twitter or whatever it's called, at King Kittens. Some people apparently do not like some of my opinions on products and decide to go full tribal on their favorite wrestling promotion. That's totally fine. But you can find me there. You can find me on Instagram at King, I believe, .kittens. You can also find me Fridays and Saturdays here on the network. Hashtag Team Intern, and you know, Lindsay supports hashtag Team Uwu.
Hashtag no Uwu. We have an email for that. No.
Uwu.
No.
Hashtag no. Uwu.
That Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You use carry code Rockstar in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag epic partner. Send us home, Tim.
That's it, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next Sunday night. Have a great week. Good night.